Welcome to the Fantasy Golf Degenerates Podcast.
Degen Nation, Kenny Kim here, bringing you another Fantasy Golf Degenerates podcast this week for the 3M Open. As usual, I am here with everyone's favorite Canadian, Tyler Tambolin. Tyler, how are you this evening?
Oh, I'm doing well, Kenny. Nice little Open we're coming off of. Morikawa gets the job done. Can't wait to discuss that. But before we get into that, I want to remind everyone this podcast and show is brought to you and presented, sponsored by DraftKings. Head on over to DraftKings Sportsbook. You can use promo code FGD on sign up. There's going to be a promo about that later. Another really good promo, basically free money in this case. I can feel very confident saying that. And then also want to remind everyone about FantasyNational.com. Head on over to FantasyNational.com/FGD. Get yourself 20% off your first payment. Kenny Kawa, Killer Kawa. I said it today on Twitter. Killer Kawa. The C stands for closer. The C stands for clutch. The double L, I said, stands for living legend. This guy is dominating. And one of the best stats I saw, before I kick it to you, was the fried egg, the one that I quote tweeted it with, and just showed that, yes, he came into the league later on, but the numbers that he's put up ever since, man, are absolutely incredible. More wins than missed cuts. Two majors now. Two debutant majors. Like, just made work of it. And poor Daniel Rapoport. I know that tweet that got sent out, taking a lot of heat, but man, one tweet caused his ownership to go into the gutter. So talk to me about it, man. What are your thoughts? And we'll get right into it here with the recap of the Open.
Well, first off, cheers to Kyle. I got the pinky out, got a drink going, taking a little PTO this week, so it'll be nice.
Paid time off for those that are wondering.
Yeah. So I'm chilling. Fuck Daniel Rapoport. That's what I got. I'm kidding. The guy does really good work. Like I said last week, the three debutants that I think were viable were Scheffler, Kawa, and Hovland. And guess which one I didn't fucking play? That tweet might have had something to do with it. I'm a fucking idiot.
You chose wrong.
I guess it comes down to I'm pretty fucking stupid is what it comes down to. Also, more stupidity. My cash lineup sucked balls. I posted a cash lineup like a week before the tournament started when the prices went out. I just no look, no research in like 90 seconds. That went 6-6 with a cash in every double up, cash in every GPP. So, and I didn't even play that lineup. So that's how my week went. Not great. But Kawa. Wow. It was unbelievable. The guy, just his poise under pressure. Like, you don't see that with these young guys. I mean, I guess nowadays the talent is so good, you see it a little more than you did in the past, but just nothing fazed him. He was making these up and downs from like, horrible lies, giving himself 15-foot putts and just draining them. It was really, really impressive what he did. I feel bad for Louis. Shit in the bed once again. I still, man, what a season by him in the majors. He's due. He's due. I don't know if the golfing gods give him one, but he's due. Rom. I think you play Rom, Koepka, and Kawa in every major for the next 5 years in DFS. I don't see anything changing that. Rom, Kuchar 62. Back-to-back 62s on Saturday and Sunday. Ball striking, he was unmatched. I mean, he was probably just as good as Kawa, maybe if not better because he's a little bit longer off the tee. His game is going to be so good. He's going to be him and Kawa, such two different types of players. You would think that battle for number one, I think those two are the top guys in the world. I think right now, I don't think it's too much of a question about it with Kawa with 5 wins in the last, 2 years. Rom, I think 12 wins worldwide in his career. And it's like 4 or 5 year career. And with the major coming down this year, 4 straight top 10s of majors. Those two guys are going to be on the top of the list. And you got Koepka, Mr. big game hunter, comes out there and just does his thing. He left a lot on the table on Sunday as well after a pretty shitty Saturday, left him out of contention. One thing I will say about the Open Championship is, you know, I know the weather was nice and, you know, and that was, I guess, not what I expected with the thing going on. But when you look back at the last few years of the Open Championship, is it really that difficult of a tournament? Has the players' equipment and players' skill level gotten to the point where these rota courses, open rota courses, just aren't extremely difficult? I mean, they're not easy. Don't get me wrong. They're not easy. But they're not like they used to be, where guys would struggle to break par, break 500 every single year they played, you know, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, with, you know, of course, subpar equipment and talent level that's not even close to what it is today. That's a Tiger effect. You got these kids going out practicing all day, all the time, and their skill level, by the time they get on the tour, you can see with these young guys, is so incredibly high. And now you look at the scores of the Open Championship for the last, I guess, 7 years. 2014, Rory won at 17 under. Zach Johnson won at 15 under. Henrik Stenson won at 20 under. Spieth won at 12 under. Molinari at Carnoustie won at 8 under. That was tough. Carnoustie's no joke. I'll give him that one. Shane Lowry at 15 under. And then Kyle, what, 16 under yesterday. You know, I mean, it's not like the weather was perfect all seven of those years. I think we're at the point where we have to look at the Open Championship a little bit different when it comes to DFS and gambling, where it's just the elite players don't have as hard of a time when it comes down to it. And I think that's just something that to go about when it comes to it. I mean, unless the wind's blowing 30 miles per hour and it's 65, 55 degrees, the ball's not traveling far and the green and everything's firm and crazy, I think that's the only time we'll see it play really difficult. So, I mean, that's something you should keep in mind as you keep playing DFS year in, year out for the Open Championship. What do you think of the event? What do you think of what I just said?
Yeah, some of what you just said is perfect, spot on. I think I'm not, you know, the equipment, some people are still trying to figure out their equipment, Bryson with his driver, things like that. But I think as far as the skill level goes, a couple of points you made just points back again to Majestic Morikawa, because part of the Tiger effect goes into that. I know Rick Gaiman said it yesterday. I saw a little clip posted out by CBS, and he said, like, of the modern era, this is the closest thing we've seen to Tiger. When you run the numbers, it's hard to disagree with that. And I think that's just going to be the case. I don't think we see another Tiger Woods, and that's because the Tiger era was different. He was just head and shoulders above. But it's been talked about so many times with guys like Brooks Koepka coming out and doing their thing and how special that was and how many majors he picked up so quickly. And then on the contrary, things like Rory McIlroy, not enough or not what people thought he would have by now. DJ, how is he just getting his second at that November Masters? So on and so forth. So I do think there's some conversation to be had around that, because Morikawa is doing it in the era of how strong these fields are. I definitely thought it was funny to see. So Rahm is the guy there, not Ricky Fowler, to congratulate him when Kawa comes down those steps. And that's good to see, because I think they're going to be congratulating each other a lot.
Fowler's married now, so he's bitter, probably. Well, he doesn't come down and handshake everyone at the end. He's like, fuck that shit.
You don't got time for that shit. Yeah, I don't know. There were some good Sundays out there, though. Bryson. Speaking of Ricky, he had a 5-under, Bryson had a 5-under, Brooks had a 5-under, Xander, like all these guys battle back. One other thought I had too, Kenny, just speaking of it, you know, from last week, the debutantes and the guys you mentioned, Scheffler, Hovland, Morikawa, you know, the jokes on Rappaport, we'll keep making fun of that. But I just think the thing was, though, the one guy that did not do well, you know, he still did okay finishing T12, but, you know, Scheffler was T8. Morikawa was first. They're all right there. Morikawa and Scheffler played Scotland the week before. Talked about Scheffler popping up a 63 there. Kawa didn't do well. He was a T71, but then came back and did his thing. He definitely figured out whatever it was he had to. They talked about his caddy getting his putter in line at both the PGA Championship, giving him some tips on what to do there with his putter, and then switching it up completely for the Open. But man, some of those up and downs and those saves, even when he short-sided himself down the stretch, you could talk about so many guys in this field. Robert McIntyre, who we'll talk about for this week eventually, another guy that's been sort of hunting it in the big games there. Him and Scheffler both T8, two guys that have been crushing it. Scheffler's major season, those six majors that were rattled off, all T19s or better, capped off with this T8 when he really didn't even do anything down the stretch. That's pretty incredible too. So we'll be talking about Morikawa for a long time. I'm excited about that part of it. What about Spieth? We didn't talk about him. Last thoughts, I guess, but Spieth, man, gave himself a chance. Obviously, that bogey from 2 feet, whatever it was on Saturday, certainly didn't help. He's lucky, I think, that that was hole 18, because I don't think that would have helped going if he had two or three more of those tougher holes remaining. But battled through it on Sunday, man. Had himself a pretty good round. Just didn't, in the end, luckily he lost by two and not one, because that would have stung. But what were your thoughts on Spieth? And you mentioned those other three guys playing at all majors. It feels like you got to play Spieth at the Masters and the Open every time, no matter what.
Yeah, well, you know, I said last week Spieth was number one in my model. And, of course, I galaxy brained myself into not playing him because of the ownership. Also, I said Louis was my favorite play in the 9K range. I galaxy brained myself into not playing him because of the ownership once again. So, yeah, last week was the epitome of overthinking for me. Basically, is exactly what I did. I lost, like, almost everything. It sucked. It was a horrible week. But Spieth, it looks like he's back. I mean, the way his game is, I think the biggest thing about Spieth is his drive looked pretty damn good. He was shaping it right to left, left to right. He had control over it. Didn't miss too wildly that often. If he could do that repeatedly, event in and event out, I mean, he could be right up there as well with Kawa and Rom. You know, just because is how masterful his short game is, how good of a clutch putter he is. And, you know, golf is just better with Spieth up on top of leaderboard. I mean, a couple of years ago, I thought maybe he was going to go the road of like David Duval or something like that. But obviously, I was wrong, which is happening a lot here recently. I think it's good for golf when he's up there and that strong. And it's good for the game just because it just shows that it's not really it's weird. Everyone's talking about distance and how it's detrimental to the game, and they have to roll the ball back or do whatever with clubs and do whatever. But, you know, two of the top players in the game right now are fairly short off the tee when you look at Kawa and Spieth. And their other aspects of the game are so strong that they can get it done in this age of, you know, bomb and gouge. So that's nice. And the thing about Rom is for a guy who hits it as far as he does, he's fairly accurate, middle of the road in driving accuracy on tour. That's a strength. And God, his irons are so good.
So good.
This past week, I mean, every time you saw him, he was in the middle of the fairway. He was hitting 15 feet or less and then missing the putt. Basically, that was Rom's week. And he was close. And I think
still right there. And also Kyle Porter posted a tweet last week on Twitter about the strokes gained era. And the only two, like, of the best tee to green players since the strokes gained era, and obviously everyone that we talked about is up there, Rom, Tiger, were the only two that really had a putter that you could see, and the numbers show for how good their putter was with matching with those other stats. And I think that's important. And that's why, like you said, the guy played himself basically out of it, so you thought, and then all it takes is a Saturday, Sunday round, and he's right back in the mix. Like you said, even left strokes out there. And well, he did have some, you know, near calls on hole in one almost there in the final round, things like that. He definitely still left a couple shots out there with the putter, and still finished 11 under to Kawa's 15. So I think it's just, like you said, something to watch. You know, it's just a sight to watch, I should say, going into the future as we continue to watch these things. Unfortunately, Kenny, no majors for a very, very long time.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit, but, you know, we got the Olympics, we got the Ryder Cup, looking forward to both of those. So, I mean, we got some things to go. I mean, I know it always gets a little bit slower once football starts, but we'll be grinding it out week in and week out. All right, so anything else we want to talk about before we get to this listener league?
Nope, it's all good, man.
All right, so we got a Pico 3. I think this is a multiple-time winner because that Prince avatar looks familiar to me. I'm a big fan of Prince. You know, game blouses, one of the best skits of all time in comedy. Dave Chappelle, it's got to be, right? It is the greatest sketch comedy skit in the history of sketch comedies, I would have to say. So Jordan Spieth, he had 112 points, of course, finished second, 27% owned. Good job there, DJ Nation. I am an idiot. Justin Thomas, 20% owned, 58.5 points, finishing 40. What's up with JT? The talent and everything, is he going through a slide? I mean, I know he won the Players. But, I mean, like, the major performances haven't been great. He hasn't been lurking that. You think it's just a little bit of a –
It's been the putter, though. It just continues to be the putter. And I think that's gotten to his head, which then you've seen it with other guys in the past. Spieth went through it before he bounced back. And I don't think JT's going to have near that slide by any means. He's still my favorite player. I still think he's one of the best in the world. But, obviously, when you start focusing on something else, it can affect – other portions of your game. So I think that's really what it is with Spieth, but still not something I'm going to shy away from in the future here.
Yeah. Kawa, of course, the winner. Pico 3 had 7.72% owned. Matthew Wallace, 1.56% owned, finished in 40th. Poulter, 10% owned, finished in 28th, 26th. And Corey Connors, the Canadian brethren, who I didn't think would do well. I guess I just overthought again, because, I mean, when you think about it, the way his iron game is and how accurate he is off the tee, it just made sense. I just didn't think he could do it in those windy type situations. But, of course, there was no wind. So he finished in 15th, 1% owned. What you think, Alana?
Yeah, Corey Connors is basically the Canadian Morikawa, right? And then you've got Mackenzie Hughes is the Canadian Spieth, just drains it from everywhere. So I was making fun of that all weekend. I hate to see it, 1%. I wish I played more Corey Connors, but I had a little bit of them there. It was good to see 1% here. That's just great. Poulter made a lot of sense. Wallace was a sneaky play there. Basically looks, you know, solid build overall. I like the 3-9K guys. I like staying in the sevens. We talked last week about Burns. Yeah, I'll probably make the cut, we said, but, you know, you can get him in there and be different with him. But it may not have been necessary with how many other guys you could play. And it looks like this lineup was basically, you know, a Wallace or Poulter to Berger and a JT down to Louis, away from possibly, you know, close to the nuts, maybe not the optimal, but very close, you know, to even higher score. So managed to sneak it out here with a 1-point win in our listener league. Already saw that he joined the Tournament of Champions, invited him this morning for our end of year league, which we'll get some more details on shortly here and give you guys some info on. But I think there's 33 in there already so far. And then, of course, the three man, he'll join us this week. So shout out to Pico 3, really nice lineup here, and probably made some money elsewhere on top of this money, the $1,000 with a little bit of overlay we had thanks to DraftKings there.
Sounds good, man. And on our, it's already up. So the listener league, so make sure you go check that out. Also, you know, if you can, you know, hit the like button on YouTube, go on Apple, leave a comment, leave a 5-star review. It really helps us out. We don't say that often because, you know, I really don't care. But now, you know, for Pat's sake and for the network's sake, let's go ahead and get that done. All right. So let's get to this week. The PGA Tour heads to Minnesota for the 3M Open from TPC Twin Cities. It's been played two times here. It's basically been a birdie fest. You're looking at an average around 23 birdies made by the top 10 both years. Players in the top 10 in both years. The course has also been used for the Senior Tour. I mean, when they played in the Senior Tour, the winning score was like 21, average winning score was like 21 under. You know, they added about 300 yards to it, to the course before it switched over to the PGA, added some trees, narrowed the fairways still a bit, even though the fairways are still pretty wide. Hollis Kavner, the 3M Open executive, agreed and said, you know, we don't want the hardest course on tour. We want birdies and train wrecks. Bogeys are really no fun. You know, train wrecks are possible. 27 water hazards on the course. But the leaders, you know, at least in 2019 when they played, I think the top 10 guys, they totaled 3 double bogeys for the week. So, you know, avoiding those numbers very, very easily possible. You know, expect the winning score to be around minus 20 or more this week. And it also depends on the weather. I don't see them having too much wind. There was a bunch of rain this week too, so it could be soft. So it could be prime scoring conditions. The Arnold Palmer designed TPC Twin Cities, 7,400 yardish, par 71, the 4 par 3s and 3 par 5s. That number can change. The tee boxes are very widespread, so they can do whatever they want with the course. Also, the length is a little bit skewed because the course is 1,000 feet above altitude. So balls will travel a little bit farther. The par 5s are on a little bit longer side, but, you know, with the altitude, golfers, you know, longer hitters, medium to longer hitters should be able to reach them all in 2. Par 3s are going to be difficult. 3 of them are over 200 yards. The par 4s vary in length. I think there's like six between 400, under 450 yards, and there's going to be 5 between 450 and 502. Scoring needs to be happening in these par 4s, really. The top 10 guys in the past couple of years, the majority, I'd say probably 80% of them shot minus 7 or better on the par 4s for the week. Off the tee, golfers are going to see tree-line fairways above average in width, bunkers in the landing zones, water in play. You know, you would think after the first year, strokes gained off the tee is super important. But, of course, last year's when Michael Thompson was like 39th, 40th in strokes gained off the tee and did all his damage with the putter. So, you know, not much to go on when it comes to that. Totally different type. I mean, I think 1 and 2 – 2019 was Bryson and Wolf, number 1 and 2 last year with Long and Michael Thompson. I think Grillo was up there too, and Noren. So it's, you know, who knows? You know, we really don't have too much to go on. We're just going to have to go based on what we see with the form, iron play, 150, 175 yards. I know Justin Ray said, I think the last 2 years, there were more approaches from 175 to 200 than any other course at PGA National. So you're going to need that, and you're going to need a hot putter. When it comes down to, you know, and birdies, bogey avoidance, and the other two I just talked about. You know, about 2.5 inch rough, you're going to see. It could be a little bit thicker with all the rain they had this week. We'll see how it plays. The greens are above average in size as well, multi-tiered. Runoff areas in the front, and it's going to be around 12 to 12.5 on the stint meter, and it's pure bent grass. Tambo, what are you looking for this week?
A lot of what you said. I'm happy you brought up the PGA National there. I got a few takes on that throughout. Michael Thompson, obviously a winner there back in the day and the defending champion here this year. You mentioned the year. Don't forget, it wasn't just Bryson and Wolf. There was an eagle try from a one Colin Morikawa, who we just talked about, that was in the same mix there. So we've got that to talk about as we go through it. Tee to green, ball striking, approach, everything you talked about, the birdies and the scoring obviously comes a lot easier. This year definitely looks, as of right now, it's very early in the week. It's Monday, but the weather doesn't look like much to worry about. So probably closer to that 23 under, like with Matthew Wolf getting the job done. And then going to look at a little bit of things like the recent form to just to do with lineup construction. Like if you just leave money on the table, like we've talked about these last couple birdie fests, you can always do that. Here's another great spot for it, especially because, as you mentioned, Thompson got it done basically a totally different way than Wolf got it done. And they both did the job. So we'll look at that. You know, someone said it today, I forget who, I think it was Red Kachik, Drew Matthews said it on Twitter. This is not an exciting event. Don't come on here on a podcast and tell me you're excited for this. I couldn't agree more. I absolutely hate this fucking event, but I understand there's people, you know, around, like, you know, Feinberg hopped on and goes, don't forget everyone's in the tout space or everyone that does these podcasts is from this area. So yeah, that's probably why it is exciting, but I'm kind of excited too, Kenny. I'm hoping DraftKings pulls something together next week for the Olympics. And with that said, we've got a little bit of an offer here from DraftKings Sportsbook.
DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but also America's top-rated sportsbook. Speaking of America, America's top athletes are headed to Tokyo to compete for gold, and DraftKings has a medal-worthy offer just for our listeners. Listen to this great offer. Place any pre-event wager of $1 to be able to cash $100 in free credits if America wins any medal this year. That's 100 to 1 odds on an American athlete to stand on the podium and receive either gold, silver, or bronze at the Olympics. 100 to 1 odds on an offer like this doesn't come around often. So sign up for DraftKings Sportsbook now to get in on all of the action. I love using DraftKings Sportsbook. It's easy to navigate, has plenty of instructions for new bettors, and nearly limitless ways to get in on the action. My friends and family have been loving DraftKings Sportsbook, and I know you'll love it too. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code FGD when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits if America wins a medal. That's code FGD to turn $1 into $100 in free credits for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, NJIN or PA only, new customers only, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to the Olympics, looking forward to Sung Jae-im. If you got a chance and you follow the Sung Jae-im tracker on Twitter, he has this video up that got me like super hyped. Like I wasn't even into it, but he showed this video of Sung Jae-im and it got me so hyped. Go check it out on Twitter. I think it has the music's great for it. About a minute long, and man, I'm sort of excited about the Olympics next week just because of what's really on the line for the two Korean players out there. All right, so let's get to
wait,
this.
Did it get you more hype than when we were at the Honda watching Sung Jae-im win?
I mean, probably not, but if Sung Jae-im wins next week, I'll run around my fucking house naked, you know, with the fucking Korean flag draped over my shoulders. You know, I actually did that once. I've told this story before on the pods, but since we're a little bit, since we're on a new platform, we have some new listeners, I'll go ahead and tell it again. It's the story of when I actually proposed to an ex-girlfriend of mine. So I was watching a Redskins Cowboys game, right? It was like 2006. And so, you know, the girl I was seeing at that time and all her friends were getting married, you know, and so she, you know, she was like, she was bugging me all of this. When are we getting married? We were together for like 3 years. So like, when are we getting married? When are we getting married? When are we getting married? I got the ring from her mother. It was like a grandmother's ring, asked permission, got all that stuff. And so, you know, she's a sneaky little girl. So I had to like keep it on me all the time. And so I was watching the Redskins Cowboys game. I was at a bar first off. You know, there were a bunch of Cowboys fans. And so it was like 14-0 at half, or, you know, we were losing all the Cowboys. I was getting pissed off. I was hammered. I went home. I was like, fuck this shit. I'm not going to do it. Because I actually worked there. So I didn't want to like fight people. You know, I was 26. It was my fighting years, you know? And so, I decided to go home. She was there and, you know, I was watching the game and, you know, I was just getting more and more pissed off. It was like getting late into the fourth quarter. We were still losing, Brunello's throwing picks. And so, you know, out of the corner of my ear, she's like, so when are we getting married? And I just fucking lost it. Like, it was the alcohol and, like, you know, the fucking stress of the fucking game and all this shit. And I pulled the fucking ring out and I threw it at her face. And I was like, there's your stupid ring, bitch. Shut the fuck up so I can watch the game. That's how I proposed. And so after and that was a game where Brunell threw those two bombs to Santana Moss to win the game with like 30 seconds left. He scored like two touchdowns, like 2.5 minutes. And I got hyped. And like I went back to the bar and I had this Redskins flag draped around my shoulders and just started like waving and running around the bar. And then I went went back home just to talk shit to all these fucking Cowboys fans that pissed me off earlier. And then I got home, and on the way home, I was like, did I just propose? I was like, oh shit, I fucked up really bad. Now the thing is, she's so desperate to get married that she said yes. We were engaged for 6 months, and then I knew I made a mistake, so like I just stopped coming home for like 2 weeks. that's how that relationship ended. Bro, I was not the nicest guy. Like, I just stopped coming home. I was gone for like two weeks. But anyways, my little story about running around. Yeah, that happens. I will run around with a Korean flag. I'll go buck wild. It's Siwoo or Sungjae, either one. Okay. And I what I would like is Siwoo, Sungjae 2 and 3, and then the long shot 200-1 guy I bet winning first.
It's gonna be someone like Paul Casey that wins. That just like when Rose won, just someone you don't. He's not getting his major. Here's this instead, you know, take that. But any medal, you've got to do that, because the medals are all that count. They don't need the gold, Kenny. That's right.
That's so true. All right. Love that. So let's get to this week. Let's start off with the DraftKings tiers. You know, we got Reed all the way up to DJ. Where are you going this week, my friend?
Man, it's not nice up here. So it's DJ who knows the motivation factors, but win equity wise, I think he's the one that's got it there. Obviously at 11-3, can't imagine a world where I'm paying 10-9 for Louis Oosthuizen here. I know he's trying to get his win on PGA Tour, you know, or on American soil, I should say, if you will. And so there's that factor of it. But for me, not that excited about it. I do kind of like Finau in the sense, you look here, his results the last 2 years or whatever, he's coming off a decent 15th at the Open, but all 8 rounds under 70. That's 2 bonuses across 2 tournaments. And I'd take another one of those bonuses. So I don't mind starting some lineups up here with Tony Finau, but the guy I like the most, Kenny, and I hope he doesn't get popular. He probably will just because, but Patrick Reed, I actually like Reed a lot this week. He's got really good results coming off missed cuts. He did not see the weekend at the Open. I'm hoping if anything that can keep his ownership down. But the big thing for him is, and George Savarikas, there's an interview, you can go check it out on Twitter, brought it up from just a couple weeks ago where Reed talked about, you know, week by week. And you know what his motivation is, man. He's in 8th on the Ryder Cup list. And most would say he's a shoo-in, he's a lock. It doesn't matter. He's going to be a pick either way. They have enough going on in that locker room already, in my opinion, that I'm saying there's the best way for him to do it is just to play his way in and not have to worry about it. At the time when he said it, he was 7th. Since then, he's been passed by his quote-unquote nemesis on the team and Jordan Spieth. They can't even play together anymore. His former teammate that he went on and had wins with and things like that. But I think that he's going to play really well this week. I think this is, of course, another stat I saw. I believe it was Reed Fowler posted it out, something to do with Patrick Reed on courses over 7,400 yards. And this one just meets those that quota. So I do think that is pretty interesting as well. But I like him at 10-3, and I could even just start some lineups with him and then play a bunch of guys, because you'll hear when we get down to the bottom of the 7K, I got some guys for you down there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm Tony Finau, I'm starting with my first cash game, Cornerstone. I think this is the type of course that where he can turn around his season. Not too hard, stay away from the water, use his driving distance and his is fairly good iron play. I mean, you think Finau's iron play hasn't been great that year, but he's still 15th in this field in strokes gained approach over the last 50 rounds. You know, he makes a lot of birdies. One thing that I was noticing, he's actually 6 in bogey wins in the last 50 rounds in this field too. So I think this is the type of course where he can get it done, where it's not too difficult. You can go out, just make, you know, birdie maker Tony. Just go out there and make his birdies. Go out there and shoot 60s all 4 rounds, like you said, and get it done. So Tony's going to be my first cash game cornerstone. I was thinking between DJ and Reed because I like the 9K range, especially the bottom half of the 9K range. So I'm only going to play 2 people up here, and I was trying to pick between DJ and Reed. You might have loaned me to Reed because you're right. I mean, I don't think he's a lock for that Ryder Cup team. He should be, I think.
Because he should be. He's Captain America. That's right.
He should be. But I don't know if Stricker wants to deal with more of a headache that he already has to deal with on that team. And a win, you would probably put him in, I would think. So I like that narrative. I like that motivation that he has. So I think I might go join you with Reed. We'll see. I haven't made my final decision yet. It's either going to be DJ or Reed, but I like where your head's at when we're going to Reed. Let's go to this 9K range.
Finau, by the way, too. Sometimes Finau is birdie avoidance when it comes down to winning, though. That's my only worry, where he doesn't make them what's needed to get the job done. So it really is hard for me to take Louis and Finau up there. And how many times, I love a great narrative. I just brought one up. I think one factor this week, Kenny, as we get in to this 9K range and beyond, is we're getting to the time of year, where the motivation does matter. FedEx Cup points matter. We saw Ryan Moore at the John Deere, a place that he's done well in the past. Haven't seen him do much all season. Comes back out, starts getting it rolling. He's just outside the FedEx Cup. Guys like Charles Howell, they need to make the playoffs. That's how they make their coin, keep it going, do the thing. That's just what they do. They're better than most, and that's why they show up there. But I do think that matters. You mentioned about him. It's just really tough. The narrative around Finau, well, this will be the week he finally gets that W. You talked about changing his season, maybe change his life. The guy hasn't won in forever, and he's still almost $11,000 here. So I don't like shitting on Tony. I love the guy. But, man, it's like it's a great play from the perspective of the all 4 under 70 making the cut. Just came third here last year. Hopefully he can get the job done. He'll be in the pool. I'm just saying it would be more than season changing. It would be life changing for him to finally get this monkey off his back since that one lone win at the Puerto Rico Open. Go ahead with the 9K range,
John. I mean, I think the last time I had a feeling about Tony, he finished second in the Genesis and he should have won that shit. And I got a feeling about Tony once again. So we'll see. I mean, second place is fine with me. It's probably where I finish. I don't think he'll win. I'm not going to bet him. I'm not a fucking idiot.
Okay, someone clip that because later he's going to tell you how he bets Cameron Tringali.
That's true.
Go ahead.
I Cameron Tringali is my second cascade cornerstone. Again, another feeling I have. When it comes down to it, he's one of the best bogey avoiders, one of the better birdie makers in this field. Those are the two things that you need in this event, I think, to do well. He's also tee to green. He's been fine. He's been putting his ass off. The stats line up. I think it's his time. I am betting him at 31-1. I think everyone's going to be off of him as well because of the price. I mean, who the fuck wants to play fucking Cameron Tringali for $9,500 fucking dollars? I do. Maybe not many other people. So I think he can make a good GPP play as well. But he is my second cash game cornerstone this week. I think he finished a couple of good finishes here and made the cut both times. If I'm right, I think he top 10, top 20 last year. So there you go. But yeah, I like Tringali. I'm going to play Griot again. This is another type of course where I think he could do well. Just attack those pins and just hopefully please make a putt. Showed himself pretty well at the Open Championship on some slower greens. These aren't, you know, crazy fast, especially if they, you know, it's supposed to be like 90 plus in Minnesota for the week. So they're going to have to water these greens. Maybe they'll be a little bit slower, maybe around 12 on the stimp, just around there. So I like Griot. We all know his stats and iron play. He makes a lot of birdies, man. I mean, that's the thing. He's what, second in birdies or better gain in this field in the last 50 rounds. So I like Griot. I'm going to play Bubba. The last couple of times out, he's looked like, you know, pretty good Bubba. And I think that, you know, this is the type of course where he can just pound it out there and just rely on his putter. Tee to green, of course, he's always strong. So I like Bubba, and I like Bobby Mack. If you look in his last 20 starts, 19 made cuts. So the guy's a good youngster. He can go out there and play. He doesn't mind playing with the big boys. You've seen him. I think he's finished, made all the cuts in the four majors this year, if I'm not mistaken. The guy knows how to play. He knows how to do it. He's going to be someone, and he wants to earn. He's right on the special exemption list. If we're going narratives, he's right by there. So if he gets enough points, he can get special exemption like Will Zalatoris had and get as many sponsor invites as he wants to try and earn his tour card. Because, I mean, yeah, playing in Europe, winning there is great, but everyone wants to play on the PGA Tour. That's the goal. You know, that's the pinnacle. And you know he wants to get there, and this is a good week for him to try and get some more of those points. I really like this 9K range. So that's why I think I'm only Finau, of course. I'm going to be light on him in GPPs. If you don't know how I usually do my cash lineups, whoever I play in cash, I go light in GPPs because I'm about 45% cash, 55% GPPs in my bankroll. And I don't want a single guy going up like 80% of my bankroll. So, you know, really I'm going to play one guy a lot in the 10K range. And that's because I like this 9K range a bunch. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, what you're trying to say is the M in McIntyre stands for motivation. That's the line, right? You're trying to get to that one. I do like that. I don't think a lot of people want to go there at 9,000, if we're being honest. I know everything you just said makes sense. The cuts, you know, for just overall, and the fact that a lot of the big ones that were in majors, like that's huge, and he just had a great finish there. So it'll be interesting to see where people go there. I'm not sure what people will do with Bubba because I like the Bubba bet. I actually bet him at 41. We'll talk about our bets at the end of the show, but I think, like, you know, the Travelers, he let everybody down, came back out with what was, I think it was like a 64, 67 weekend at the Rocket Mortgage Classic, where everyone was saying, where the hell was that last weekend, Bubba? And he comes out and does that. So it kind of makes sense. I really like Grillo, though. I've got a guy later that's basically Emiliano Grillo light. But the thing about Grillo is he scores well in low scoring events. Like, he goes low in those events. He's a better play in go low events. We like him there. He always sucks at putting, but the only place that, you know, they always say is usually better on bent grass. That's what we have here. He got third here just last year, and he's actually the best, depending where you're looking at Fantasy National, where we use, he's second in approach in the last 50 rounds to Keegan Bradley. So that all lines up. Like you said, you can get those greens watered down a little bit. It worked last year. He got third. This is the type of place he could show up. Just had a great showing overseas in the Open. So I think he's a great play here. I'm interested to see where the ownership goes between Tringali, who you mentioned. Maybe people don't want to pay $9,500 for him because, you know, it does kind of feel like it could be like Louis and Cowell last week. The two guys just sitting there in the Nike, him and Grillo, make a lot of sense. But then I want to get your take on this before we move to this 8K range. And that's Matthew Wolf. Because this guy skipped the Open, but he's going to come back and play the place he's, you know, a champion 2 years ago, the first time they started out here. So what are you doing with Matthew Wolf this week at 9,700? And then what do you think others do with Matthew Wolf at 9,700?
Yeah, if I don't play DJ and if I read, I think I can fit Wolf in. I think he's one of the ones that just missed the four that I talked about. I only try and play six or seven. I make 60 lineups in GPPs. And so I play like six to seven guys, 9K and above. That's really all I can fit without spreading myself too thin. And I might even be too much, but that's where I'm going to go. I'm thinking about him.
I was just going to add another line. I was going to say maybe the M in Matthew stands for mental game. We got to wonder where his mentals are at, because you think about it, he in his head, he goes and sees his guy, Morikawa, go win another major. And he's been close in majors and he's got his win on tour quickly and so on and so forth. But then could be hurtful where he says, damn, he got another one like this. I got to get my shit together. But that could be motivation. And then the second factor is he's got to know in his head, like I talked about earlier, it wasn't just the Bryson shot at the end of that tournament when he won here a couple of years ago. He was standing right there off the green where Morikawa was on the green putting for eagle down that hill. And he knows he can beat him. He did it right then and there. So maybe that's some extra motivation to get him back rolling again too. So I don't hate Matthew Wolf there. I think we'll see where the ownership goes with Tringali, but I could easily just play Wolf, Grillo, Watson, McIntyre, and feel pretty good about those four with the two guys I got up top there.
Tambo, the master of alliteration. That's going to be what you are. Yeah, masters of alliteration. That's Tambo from now on. Let's move on to this 8K.
Alliteration race. Aficionado is what it will be. And I'm going to put that in my Twitter bio. Let's go.
Okay. let's go to this 8K range. I like Kizire. He's going to be my third cash game cornerstone, coming off a 25th and 11th in the last two events. He's had Three missed cuts, 11th, 25, third, and third in his last seven events. So, I mean, he's going to miss a cut. He's not the most consistent player out there, but the game is looking strong. I think his iron game has improved, hitting a bunch of birdies. I think he's top 10 in proximity from 175 to 200 yards in this field. You know, it's top 10 in DK points in the last 50 rounds in this field. Iron game's always strong, so I like Kizire up top. So, I mean, you know, it's pretty top heavy in my cash. If you guys don't know, since I sort of switched up my cash configuration in the last, I guess, 2 months, where I'm going to go a little bit more aggressive up top and go with one punt play. So that's where I'm going. That's where I've been most successful in these last couple of months when it comes to cash. And you'll see my punt play is a punt play. It's way down there this week. We'll talk about it when we get to the 6K range. I like Kegel Bradley, getting that workout done, flexing those Kegel muscles. I like Kegel. Again, iron play, strong tee to green, second in proximity from 175 to 200 yards. I'll go with him. Luke List coming off a near miss last week. Again, another type of player who I think can succeed on this type of course. Top 15 in birdies or better gain. Proximity from 175 to 200 yards. Strokes gained tee to green is fifth in the field. Again, it's going to come down to the putter with him. Those are some guys I like in the 8K range. Tamo, what about you?
Yeah, I do like List that you mentioned there. I can get behind Keegan. Talked about him earlier in comparison to Grillo. I think that makes a lot of sense. A couple other guys that stood out to me. So one, Charles Schwartzel. No one really likes to play Charles. No one really likes to play a Charles that we'll get to later as well. But both those guys can pop at any given time. And I know Charles, third here last year, seven of his last eight made cuts with some decent finishes in there. So I think he makes some sense. I always like, and usually you like, a little bit of Mav McNealy, right? So DK scoring, fair price. I was looking at it. His form is still so good. 18th, 21st, 30th, 20th. Good with the longer irons. And we know he can get hot at times with that putter. But this is the one to be a hard sell, Kenny. I don't know if you'll take this, but I mentioned earlier PGA National, Michael Thompson won there back in 2013, won this event last season. Another guy I mentioned earlier went with five under on Sunday. There was Bryson, there was Brooks, there was Xander, and then there was a one Ricky Fowler also went five under. He's 8,900, best buy pricing, usually fucks me, but Michael Thompson was even quoted as saying this place is just like PGA National because the water gets brought in. He talked about a little bit of that Florida feel, all of those factors. Ricky is obviously has a pretty good record at PGA National, a win and a second place. So I don't know if you can get behind that, but he's good, I think, at 8,900. I don't think many will want to play him regardless, even though it's kind of went away lately. As much as I talked about Finau earlier and people always saying he's going to get the win, Ricky always garners some ownership, but it hasn't quite been the same as of late. And
because
now
he sucks.
Right, but 8,900, sure. You know, in this field. What do you think? Can you get behind it?
No.
Okay. No. I'm going to roll it. I'm going to add him in there. So I got Fowler.
7,900 maybe.
Well, he was 7,300 in a major last week. So he didn't come through.
He was too expensive. He was too expensive.
But he had a good Sunday.
He was too fucking expensive.
6,900. No. The best was when you told, this is sidetracking it again, but the Morikawa and his woman, Kat Zoo, model.
Don't marry.
Don't get married. Don't get married.
No, it's cool. He got ride or die before he got famous.
Yeah.
You know, that's a really, I think it's a pretty important thing for athletes and celebrities and stuff like that. But you don't want a gold digger bitch to come up on you. You know what I'm saying? You get that, you don't want that. That's a really cool thing. And it seems like, I mean, it really helps him. I mean, yeah, he said he didn't start winning in school till he met the girl. I mean, maybe he never got laid before. I don't know. He's 5'9", he's Asian. It's tough for us. But I mean, but I mean, either way, if he wants to get married, I can get down with it, ride or die before he's famous, but don't do it. Don't ruin your career.
And you just said that, and that's so funny, because as we were on here, speaking of Daniel Rappaport, we'll bring him up one last time. He just tweeted out.
Fuck that dude.
Listen to this. A stat he was thinking about today, he said, was Morikawa won five times out of 49 events at Cal. He's now won five times out of 48 events on the PGA Tour against the best in the fucking world. And so that tells you something. Maybe, again, more Kat Zoo for you. But, yeah, she's pretty nice. So good for Morikawa.
I mean, the thing is, like,
on and off.
The girlfriend thing is fine. If you look at Sergio when he won the Masters, like, he hadn't gotten married yet. Like, you know, and like he had that nice stability at home and everything. His life was changing, sort of calming down, won the Masters. And then once he got married, he sucked ass again. Sucked ass. Oh,
man. Something to monitor.
Yeah. Strokes gained getting married. Negative. Always negative. Always negative. All right, so let's go to this 7K range. Tampa, why don't you start?
Yeah, a few guys here. This is a tougher range up top for me, I guess. There's a lot of names you can name. I actually like the bottom quite a bit more. I'll save it for afterwards. But I'm thinking, you know, first off, Chris Kirk might be a little bit of a good pivot in here. He's had a pretty off and on season, but it's been better. And I wonder if you look, the big thing for me, looking at Fantasy National, Kenny, and again, if you aren't on Fantasy National, get over to fantasynational.com/FGD. Get yourself 20% off the first month. You're able to get all these tools, have them for the playoffs upcoming, get a month, get a year, whatever you want to get the deal. But if you look at their numbers over the last 50 rounds, I'm talking about Chris Kirk and Doug Gim. And I know you're going to talk about Doug Gim. You mentioned it on Twitter last night. Gim Chi, you said he likes better. Our boy Mayo calls him the Gim Reaper, as do many others. But I just think that's kind of interesting. When you look at their numbers, Chris Kirk has almost the exact same numbers with a much better putter. So if it's going to be an ownership gap there, I think you could go to some Chris Kirk, get some upside of him at 7,900. Hank the Tank, I know you're going to talk about him too. 8th, 4th, 5th, 31st, 17th, 51st, 13th. And before that, like, you know, this guy is just on fire. Hammer and Hank, 26th and 34th the last two time years. He's probably the chalk I'll be okay with. I think he'll get popular as well. And then I mentioned earlier a couple guys. Ryan Moore is one. Motivation factor just outside the FedEx Cup standings. Why wait? Why not do it now? And the biggest thing, and the reason I like Ryan Moore quite a bit up in this range, Kenny, is how often, I know you got a vacation planned with your family, that's fine, but how you skip in the open? You make it into the open and you decide to pass on it and go on vacation with your family. I'm all about family first. I love my family. But I'm saying, if you get into the open, like I get a ticket for the 44-44 Mega Millionaire Maker on DraftKings this week, and I can't play it. I have to play it from there. Somehow it's a live event. And I decide I'm not going to go on a vacation. My family better pack their shit up, get in that plane, head on down to wherever this thing's happening, and we'll have our vacation there for this week, and I'll make it up to you next week. But I do like that factor. If you're going to skip that and say you're still going to get, you're confident enough, you're still getting the job done here, and then he just played well at the JDC, I think I'm going to go back to some Ryan Moore, no problem up top here. What about you?
Speaking of, isn't today happy anniversary, right? 7th anniversary for you? for you and it the wife today, yeah?
It is my
7th. What do you got planned tonight?
In Canada, Kenny, we call it grilling the steak.
Is that what does that mean? Grilling the steak? Is that what that means?
Well, I told you I get a nice steak and cooking. He said you're married for 7 years, then you start talking about the food. That's part of it, but it's
not
only
pounding the wife. You're really grilling the steak. That's what you're really grilling a steak. That's what that means. You're saying that you're gonna grill it and eat the steak for your anniversary. And not
I'm doing both, but that's what people say. That have to wait. Most people have to wait for anniversaries to get to that point, Kenny. And that's just not the case for some others, right? So I'm saying about that. But it's been a good 7 years. And I say it all the time. I got the best wife. She's super supportive. She loves me. She lets me do what I do. I have to tease this damn announcement. But there is an announcement coming. And I saw on Twitter people joking about, why is there an announcement about an announcement? It's called a non-compete. When you leave a company, you have to tell people that you're not going to have your shit there anymore so that they know why you're not on the site anymore. But sometimes you're not allowed to just go and say what's up next because you have a reason there that you cannot do so. But I can promise you I'm going to a really proven site that you guys are all going to like, and it's going to happen. It's not happened yet, but it's going to happen. So I'll leave it at that, Kenny, and you take me through your upper 7K range and get back on track here.
Hank the Tank and Doug Gim. You already talked about it. I mean, Hank the Tank is playing so fucking well. 7,900 seems cheap for me. He could be uber chalk. But fuck it. I'm not going to overthink it again this week. Chalk's been hidden.
It's crushing.
We're going with it.
Yeah.
We're going with it. See, we dug 7.7 strokes gain with his irons last week or 2 weeks ago, the John Deere. I think this could be his time to actually do something. We always call him See We Dug over here because Gim – in Korean is seaweed, so it's also my last name. You know, there's no hard K. I talked about this before. There's no hard K in Korean, so it's the same last name as me. It's the same as Kim. So we got to like Seaweed Doug this week, going with the Korean. I like Lanto a little bit. It seems like his game's coming back a little bit. I think he's more known as a fall type golfer. But it looks like his game is trending on a little bit more better path. He had a pretty good showing, a decent showing last week at least for a few rounds at the Open Championship. I sort of like where he's going for that. So, you know, Iron Game is strong. Top five in proximity for 175 to 200 yards in this field. So I really like Lantos, possibly a low-owned guy. We'll see. I'm an ownership guru. But we'll see how – maybe single digits if we're lucky. And I like Lanto. I'll go ahead and go down to the bottom of this. I like Troy Merritt again. Again, another guy who sort of tends to do well on a low-scoring golf course. It's Jonathan Vegas, of course, a guy who's going to make a ton of birdies, do his thing. He's still top 25 in proximity for 175 to 200 yards, top 15 in DraftKings points in the last 50 rounds. I like his price a lot. Adam Shekopotamus. I will go with the Shekopotamus this week. Had a good showing a few weeks ago in his last time out. I don't know if he played the Barbasol. He might have. I didn't really look. But I like him. Again, another guy who makes a ton of birdies. Going down a little bit more, I think Scott Stallings is someone that you can look at. His ball striking has been pretty good, gaining strokes and approach and off the tee in his last 12 rounds, in his last three events. So I like Scott Stallings at 7,200. I might throw something a little bit at James Hahn, who went really low last week.
60.
One round.
60.
Yeah, really low. If you could do that again on a course like this, you know, the guy just pops out of nowhere. So I like Hahn down below. Who do you like in this lower range?
I like a lot of guys. One I missed up top, I just want to click back right quick, was Charles Howell. The guy I said earlier, no one plays Charles. He's the guy. Third and 23rd here last two times. Just got 23rd at the John Deere. I think he makes sense. Mito Pereira, the Chilean sensation. Talked about him a little bit here. He just got a fifth at the Barbasol after we played him at the JDC, and he got a 34th.
Speaking of, we were number one in Chile last week in fantasy sports on iTunes. Number one in Chile. Yeah. I don't know who the fuck listened to Chile, but you Chileans – thank you very much. I love your sea bass. It's delicious. That's probably racist. So I'm sorry, but whatever. It is delicious. Better than butterfish.
I was going to ask you earlier when you brought up your engagement story about the butterfish, but we'll leave that one for another one. But who else here? Troy Merritt, you brought him up. He's the guy I said earlier. This is Grillo light. We want him in these birdie fests. We want him when he goes low. Listen to this nugget I dug up, Kenny, on him. We know he almost won a couple weeks ago. He lost to Cam Davis, right, in the playoff there. But check this out. He won the Quicken Loans in the first week of August back in the day. And then he won the Barbasol this exact week that we're headed into. So this is his time of year. This is his time to shine. He's got some really good events coming in. If you look at his numbers, you know, he's basically had like a mini Seamus Power type season. You know, Seamus Power finally got the job done yesterday after a lot of luck and, you know, JT Poston basically giving it away down the stretch. But I think Merritt's kind of similar. Reavy's on a little bit of a run. Shank, who you mentioned, actually did play the Barbasol, finished 15th yesterday. And then after this, a bunch of H guys, man. I like Hostler, Hadwin, Hubbard, Hagee, Hahn, Hoag, and we'll get to Hoagie later. But all the H bombs down here, Kenny, there's everybody going off in this range. I like Hostler quite a bit. 15th at the Barbasol, 25th, 10th, 19th amongst a single miscut over his last four before that. Really dialed in on approach on round four, five under round on Sunday at the Barbasol. But all those H's, man, I'm in on it. It's not the Ho train like we had that one time, but all the H's this week, we're in on it.
That was great WWE time when people didn't give a fuck. The Ho train was like unbelievable. I mean, can you imagine the guy who came up with that stick? I mean, why don't we get a pimp out here, just brings out women.
Bring out the hoes.
All right, can you imagine that nowadays? She would not fucking fly. But that was great when WWE was back then.
All right, after the John Cena reappearance, I had to bring it back last
night. You know what? Money yesterday. I don't watch as much wrestling as I once used to. But him coming out, and you seen that little kid just get fucking hyped. When fucking Cena came out, that was pretty fucking cool. So I mean, yeah, I'm 40 years old and I'm still making WWE references. Hey, a great follow out there is the Ric Flair one. No context, Ric Flair. It's hilarious. Go ahead and follow that guy.
We love on the moves.
All right, so let's go to the 6K range. Tambo, why don't you start?
Oh, man, you keep flipping it back to me. Sam Ryder, gotta love this guy. Just got third yesterday and gained a billion strokes on approach. I always like him anyways, boom or bust, but I want to get the boom. I like him in events like this. I'll go back to Roger Sloan. So Roger Sloan was a big play I believe it was the John Deere Classic.
He almost was one of my Gasket cornerstones. I missed the cup. No, he made the cup.
No, he finished DFL. It was like almost DFL. It was like 71st place or something. But anyway, no one probably played Barbasol DFS, or most didn't, even though they had some tournaments. His approach game was dialed in. He got another like top 30 or something. So I'll go back to him. Canadian brethren, I like him. Hoagie hops aboard that hoe train we just talked about. Definitely fits that. Scott Brown did his thing at the John Deere Classic, but I think he's kind of like a top 15 or bust. That's why I will play a guy like him. I want to get your thoughts, though, on I'll give you two more. Bronson Burgoon, Bronson Boom, Burgoon Bust. We always talk about that here. I'll play him, though. Chase Seifert, going to take some shots on him, 28th at the John Deere Classic. Wes Roach, I'll leave for you. And then what about K.H. Lee? He's got this TPC track record everyone's talking about. He's got the baby swag, just posted, had the kid on, I think it was Instagram I saw it, and people posted it out there. And he's 200-1. You can bet on him this week. What do you think about K.H. Lee, and then who else you got down here?
I got him at 225-1. I'm betting him.
Okay.
We'll see if this narrative takes a hold and he's like double-digit owned, then it's probably worth a fade, just game theory-wise. I think when it comes down – what I messed up last week is my usual thought when it comes to chalk players is if they're elite golfers, don't worry about it. If they're shitty, there's no such thing as a shitty golf on tour. If they're journeyman or middle of the road or on the bot trying to get their tour card type golfers and they're chalk, that's something that you can avoid. I went against that last week because I think Usti and Louis were both elite golfers, and I went against my train of thought and it fucked me once again.
Usti and Louis are really elite together.
Speed. And I went against that once again, so I'm not going to make that mistake. So if it comes down to it, and you see crazy numbers for K.H. Lee, I doubt it. If he's single digits, I'll play him.
There's just so many guys down here. It was more about like, do we play these guys because of a TPC track record, or do you leave them? I don't know. It's an interesting conversation. I don't think he'll get that much ownership.
About TPC courses, they're all built sort of the same. Like, the reason why PGA Tour has these TPC courses is so amateur golfers can go and play this event. They don't want the shit to be incredibly hard. The only one I could think of that's going to be difficult is the Players Sawgrass. And that's because of the wind and the conditions and stuff like that and the pressure that mounts for the big amount of that tournament. It's not just a TPC narrative. It's sort of an easier course narrative. And this is, like all most TPC courses, an easier course. So we can see K.H. Lee doing something like that. Let me go to my final cash game cornerstone. I'm going Wesley Roach at 6,300. I'm going bottom of the barrel. If you look at his numbers, he's made 9 straight cuts in a row on the Korn Ferry Tour and the PGA Tour, 12 out of his last 13 on both as well. I'll take a cut maker at $6,300 to try and get the top guys that I want. So my cash game cornerstones for this week are going to be Finau at 10,000, 10,700, Tringali at 9,500, Kizire at 8,800, and Wes Roach at 6,300. This is going to leave you 14,900 left to build the rest of your lineup. There's plenty of room out there to do whatever you need. You can even go up to the 8K range if you want. I'd probably go 2 7K guys to fill out the rest of your lineup. The way I go about it is 3 guys I think that can win, 1 punt play, 2 guys that I think can top 20, top 30 that I wouldn't mind betting. So that's how I go with my cash game construction nowadays, instead of the more let's get cut makers on this. Because what I've come to realize with the top 65 and ties is you're going to get single digit 66 every week. Mm-hmm. It's going to be single digits. So you want the upside instead. You want those position points. And I think that's the way to go about it when it comes to cash. If you get lucky with your punt play, more likely one of your other 2 guys are going to miss a cut or some random guy up top. At least that's been for me. I want 5 or 6 with at least a couple of guys in the top 10. That's the way I'm going to go about cash. So that is my cash strategy for guys. Since we're on a new platform, we're just watching something new. Let's go to my favorite plays in this 6K range. I like Matthew Naismith. I'm going to go back to the well on him. His iron game is just so good. At some point in time, it's got to click, right? Just being third in the field and strokes gain approach in the last 50 rounds, it's got to click at some point in time. I'm willing to take the risk at that price for him. Other guys that I do like in this range, I like Sam Ryder, like you said, at that's a 7,000 price, but I like him. I like Camille Viegas here a little bit. He's been doing pretty good. Usually the first couple of rounds is when he's been strong. You just got to make sure, you just got to try and get it for four rounds. If he does, I think he can contend. So I like Camillo down here, the Duff Daddy. I like Jason Duff. There's made a couple of cuts in a row, a couple of top 30s in a row. Always been known as an elite ball striker. That still goes about it. Pretty good at avoiding bogeys. Two top 25 in bogey avoidance in this field. Bergoon, another boomer bust type guy. Really good from 175 to 200 yards. Top 10 in this field from 175 to 200. Tyler Duncan, another guy really good from that range that I will take a flyer on. Just going about it. What's his name? Gellerman. Michael Gellerman. I had him
in my notes here. I said, are we going back to Gellerman? Back to your boy. I wrote it in here. What are your thoughts? Tell me.
I mean, just looking at it, I mean, let me bring him up here real quick over on Fantasy National. Iron Game, just superb. I mean, in the last four events, he's gained 4.1 strokes, 5.6 strokes, 4.6 strokes, 3.5 strokes. He's, you know, in the last, I guess, two events he's played, ball striking wise, just strokes gained approach and strokes gained off the tee, he's gained around 15 strokes on there. I mean, his putter is just god awful. But maybe he can go about it and do something here at that price. I'll take a risk. Anyone else?
One I didn't bring up, you mentioned Duff and it made me look, but Kevin Tway coming in off of 26th, 23rd, and 14th. Good off the tee thing. You know, it can always pop. I think he makes some sense. And then I just got to clear the air on Panda because Norman's on.
Is he in the field?
He just got in. And this is what Monday I was going to clear the air with. Monday qualifier. The dude had to fucking eagle chip in on 17 and then birdie 18 to get the very last spot. So here's the deal. It's either destiny and he's going to come out and crush it and pull a Michael Kim, right? Former Haskins winner goes out and gets his W, or he's going to absolutely be horrible because it took all that luck to get into the field.
He's not in the pricing, right? He's got to be like 6,000.
Not yet. He'll get in at 6,200 or something. I'm sure.
All right. So let's get to the bets for this week. I will go ahead and start. Y'all make fun of me. Cameron Tringali, 31-1. I'm going to start with him. Bubba, 40-1. I'll take that number. Kazire, 60-1. Luke List, 66-1. Vegas, 75-1. And KH Lee, 225-1.
Wow.
I'll probably throw a top 20 on KH Lee.
Couple guys have won before in there, so you might have a shot. Mm. Tringali, the thing about that just reminds me of an
everyone. Hey, don't you got to remember Luke List. I'm not Luke, Vegas. His two wins have come at the Canadian Open. The winning score is like 23 under. Easy course,
I like Vegas. He's the one I like there. I worry a little bit about him, but the Tringali thing reminds me of when Henley won the Houston Open at like a stupid number. It was like 25-1 or 30-1. And everyone was like, that's the dumbest number of all time. And then he went and shipped it. But the reasoning there was a little bit more of form and history versus Tringali. Is like he had it's only a two-time played event. Yes, he had third last year. And yes, he's been playing better golf, but I don't know. It's tough to say. I've got Reed 18-1. I think that's just a great number. Like I talked all the motivation, all those factors. I bet Bubba at 40. I bet Fowler, so I can't really talk shit about Tringali, but 50-1, at least that I saw that. I was like, hey, maybe with some of the stuff that lines up. Patton Kizzire, 50-1. Vegas, 66-1. Got a worse number than you, but I'll do it. At least he's won. You mentioned the RBC Canadian Open. And then I bet Merritt at 80-1. Like I said, it was very close recently. He's won this time of year a couple of times, literally the same week just 3 years ago at the Barbasol. So maybe that's some good vibes for him. Good mojo going into the final round, final time of the year. That July, end of July month. But remind everyone very quickly, Kenny, DraftKings, head over to DraftKings Sportsbook, sign up, use promo code FGD. The promo was on earlier, 100-1 odds if any American wins a medal at the Olympics next week. So, I mean,
probably going to happen. Probably going to happen.
$100 free credits if that happens. So I think that's a good way to go about it. Anything else you got for bets?
No, but one thing I will say, my one and done is going to be Tringali. And one thing I did miss, in his last three events on bent, 12.5 strokes gained putting. This is
sure
it.
Sure to continue.
It's going to happen.
Going to continue.
It's his best putting surface, or one of his best. I think he's actually better on Poa. But okay. It's going to happen. It's gonna happen. I'm gonna be Tim Andercust here. I'm laying down a marker. I am laying down a marker. Tringali, at least top five.
The T stands for
top five.
Okay, top five. Perfect. One and done. I've got, I don't know, man. I'm getting out of the nitty gritty. I took Louis last week, by the way. So that was all right, but it wasn't as good as it could be. But I'll probably go off the board here. Keegan, Grillo, McNeely, Merritt, something like that. Maybe I'll play my guy, Troy Merritt. I just got a feeling about him this week. I do like that. And I like that little nugget that I dug up on him there. Or maybe Ryan Moore, maybe skipping the open to be confident enough that you're just going to get in anyway down the stretch. I like it. So maybe some Ryan Moore.
And he probably knew he couldn't do shit over there. He probably didn't want to go. He's like, fuck it, I'll take a vacation. You know, just fucking be with the fam, come back and crush these fucking easy courses.
If anyone out there can dig up and do the investigation on where Ryan Moore went on vacation and tag me on Twitter, you find me on Twitter at Toe Tag and Tambo. I'd be interested to see what he skipped the open for. I'll make something of it. I just want to see. I'm very curious why you would not go to a major when you're in. That just seems so odd to me.
All right, anything else?
That's it, man.
All right. You can find me on Twitter at KendoVT. You can find my article on GupsCorner.com. I'm a little late for the article. I was really lazy today. Like, I watched three movies. When my boss called me at like 8:30, it was like, you can just take your PTO this week for the majority of the week. I got to work Wednesday. That's it. I was like, fuck it, fine. So I watched like Space Jam. People hate on it. It wasn't bad. It's a fucking kids movie. It was good for a fucking kids movie, okay? And then I watched Tomorrow War, which I thought was pretty fucking good. And then I watched like half of that Michael B. Jordan, Tom Clancy movie on Amazon, too. Not bad. And then I slept for like 4.5 hours and did like a little bit of research for this event because fuck this event. But anyways, you can find my article on GupsCorner.com. And of course, preview stats. Look for Trans Wednesday. I will release my favorite GPP play in each price range. Just one play, every price range. Any changes to my cash game, Cornerstone, my final betting card, any updates to the course, or go to GupsCorner.com.
Find my content on Twitter.com at Toe Tag and Tambo. Got nothing right now, as I talked about earlier, but it will be coming soon. I'm confident in that. Once I have something together, I will definitely be letting you know. I'm excited about what's to come in the future. We'll get to that down the stretch, but definitely follow me on Twitter at Toe Tag and Tambo and hit me up there if you have any questions.
Yeah, not our favorite event, but it's golf. We're still going to grind. Let's win some motherfucking money, DJ Nation. It's not even that hype. Cameron Tringali Open. That's all I'm going to do. Fuck it. Let's do it. Fuck it, this event.
I've been getting dirty money, Jordan Belfort. Stacking penny stocks while I'm flipping these birds. Sipping on Ciroc, trip them up with the words. I done popped the Molly.